Hello, welcome back to Resurrections and Adam Warlock and Thanos Podcast. I'm your host, Al Sedano. And this episode, we are not talking about an issue. We are talking about five issues, all five issues of the Silver Surfer Rebirth Legacy, which they just, I think they just want to keep seeing how many words they can add to that title. And helping me figure out all these words, since he did Adam Warlock Rebirth, is John Wilson.
Hello, and I do like words. I was almost a linguistics minor, so words and language are my thing. So you want to throw words into a title, I can do words.
And I'm trying to figure out, how do I write this, by the way, when I write down, like, the title? Is it Silver Surfer, like, because they have, it says Rebirth colon Legacy. So is it Silver Surfer dash Rebirth colon Legacy, or should I just put Silver Surfer Rebirth colon Legacy?
You know, that is a fantastic question, and I have an answer for you. The answer is I don't know. So I think that it should be Silver Surfer Rebirth is the title, and colon Legacy is the subtitle. That's how I would do it, because it is going off of the Silver Surfer Rebirth series from before.
Although I don't – that's true. Although I'm not going to call it Silver Surfer Rebirth colon Legacy anymore, because considering my age and the age you're getting to, the word colon takes on a whole new meaning.
It does. It does. And we don't want our colons to have any legacy, because that would be weird.
Yes. Yes.
But sometimes it would be good if they had a rebirth, because you just got to get that stuff moving.
Yeah, that's true. That's what fiber's for. Fiber's a rebirth.
Mm-hmm. Fiber in your diet is a good thing.
But we're not here to talk about fiber in our diet.
Yes.
Although I'm wondering if Thanos' problem is maybe he doesn't have enough fiber. That would explain a lot.
But, you know, we have Adam Warlock and we have Thanos, but we have a whole lot of Silver Surfer in Genesville.
Yes, in this first issue, yes. Although, technically, we don't have a lot of Silver Surfer, as we find out by the end of the issue.
Yeah.
But hold on, you know what? I didn't give a pause, so hold on here. Let me put in the synopsis for the whole miniseries so people have a clue what we're talking about.
Silver Surfer Rebirth Legacy. Writer, Ron Mars. Pencils, Ron Lim. Inker, Don Ho. Colors, Romulo Ferrardo Jr. Letters, Joe Sabino of Virtual Calligraphy. Editors, Darren Shaw with Noah Sharma. This story takes place in the past, most likely between the events of Infinity Gauntlet and Infinity War. Issue 1, Temptation. Cover dated November 2023. On sale date September 6, 2023. Cover by Ron Lim, Don Ho, and Romulo Ferrardo Jr. Variant covers by John Tyler Christopher, Frank Miller, Ron Lim and Don Ho, and Ryan Brown. The Silver Surfer and Genesville destroy a giant alien war machine on its way to attack the Earth. Genesis' father, Mar-Vell, is brought up, as well as his regret over never meeting him. Taking Genesis to Monster Island, the Surfer suggests using the time gem to meet Mar-Vell. Genesis objects about the time travel aspect, as well as using the gem when the Infinity Watch are not around to ask, but allows the Surfer to convince him. They go back in time and see Mar-Vell in action. But when it's time to return, it turns out Genesis was not traveling with the Surfer, but Mephisto in disguise, who sends Genesis somewhere in time. Back at Monster Isle, the real Surfer shows up and is attacked by Warlock, Gamora, and Pip, who have returned just in time to see the fake Surfer leave with Genesis. Issue 2, Bad Timing. Cover dated December 2023. On sale date October 11th, 2023. Main cover by Ron Lim, Don Ho, and Romulo Ferrardo Jr. Variant covers by Gabriel Delotto and Matthias Manhanini. Genesis lands in the far future of Earth, TRN 666, and is attacked by the Fallen One, a future dark version of the Silver Surfer who also wields Mjolnir. Back in the present, the current Surfer convinces Warlock and the others that he was not involved in Genesis' abduction. Mephisto then possesses Pip to gloat, so our good guys know who is responsible. The Surfer travels to where Thanos is living in retirement, growing crops, and asks for his help, which Thanos ends up giving after the Surfer helps him pick his crops. Issue 3, Silver and Black. Cover dated January 2024. On sale date November 15th, 2023. Main cover by Ron Lim, Don Hull, and Romulo Ferraro Jr. Variant cover by Kim Jacinto. In the far future of Earth TRN 666, the Fallen One is about to smite Genesis Vell with Mjolnir, when he is interrupted by the Silver Surfer and Thanos from the present. Being amused by who the Fallen One is, Thanos decides it would be far too easy to use the Reality Gem, and fights the Fallen One while telling the Surfer to look after Genesis. While they fight, the Surfer realizes that between the time travel and his own artificial aging, Genis is rapidly growing older and younger. Taking the temporal energies into himself, the Surfer disappears. Going to help Thanos, Genis assists in blasting a Fallen One far enough away, giving the two of them time to leave. Meanwhile, the Surfer finds himself on an unknown planet in time and meets up with Nova, Frankie Ray, who tells him the three of them are at the end of the universe. The three of them are the Surfer, Nova, and Galactus. Issue 4, Time and Time Again. Cover dated February 2024. On sale date December 13th, 2023. Main cover again by Ron Lim, Don Ho, and Romulo Ferrado Jr. Variant cover by Peach Momoko. The Surfer learns that they are in a far future version of Earth. Earth 8436, actually. And since humans are long gone, Galactus plans to eat the planet. The Surfer and Nova talk, and both tell the other that in their reality, the other one is gone. But they are here now together. The Surfer is tempted to be with Nova again, but that is interrupted by Galactus starting to prepare to planet. Trying to fight Galactus, the Surfer is backhanded and has a brief interaction with the robot Litrob 839. More on him in the discussion. Before flying back. Getting annoyed, Galactus blasts the Surfer with temporal energy in order to lose him in time. Back on his farm, Genis berates Thanos for abandoning the Surfer, but Thanos only agreed to rescue Genis, which he did, and lets Genis know that he reminds Thanos of his father, Mar-Vell, but also reminds him that he beat Mar-Vell more than once, and it would be best for Genis if Genis left, which he does, and uses his cosmic awareness to seek the one who can help, Eve Warlock. Issue 5, The Devil You Know, cover dated March 2024, on sale date January 3rd, 2024, cover by Ron Lim, Don Ho, and Romulo Ferrado Jr. The Surfer awakes to find himself in nothingness. Not knowing how to get home, he does know how to go one place, Mephisto's realm. They fight, but the Surfer is at a disadvantage against both Mephisto's powers and the time gem, which he still has. Until Genis Vell and Eve Warlock show up. Eve's pure soul enables them to defeat Mephisto and get back the time gem. She uses it to send Mephisto away, but she disappears as well. The Surfer uses the gem to bring himself and Genis back to their proper time, and after giving the gem back to Gamora, the two depart Earth. In the future of Earth 8436, we see where Eve has ended up as she meets with Nova.
Celebrating the tradition of apes in comics. For 2024, Rob has transformed JL May into JL April with a host of podcast all-stars. Look for the hashtag JL April 2024 on social media, the podcast crossover event that doesn't monkey around.
JL April, JL April, JL April, JL April.
Monkey around? Really?
All right. So now you have whatever I put there. Hopefully it gave you a clue. If not, it's not my fault. It's yours, I'm sure.
Probably. I'll take the blame.
Oh, sure.
I mean the listener.
Well, just that one person. That guy.
Just that one.
Everyone else got it. But yeah, the first issue does have a lot of Silver Surfer and Genis Vell. But as we see by the end, we really didn't get much Silver Surfer technically.
Because he's a farce the entire time.
It's Mephisto.
Dun, dun, dun. It's always, you should have noticed from the smell. I mean, Whenever Silver Surfer blazes with his surfboard, he does not leave that brimstone odor, and Genis Vell really should have picked up on that.
Now, I have to wonder then, was he actually defending, did as part of his ruse, did the Mephisto actually defend Earth, or did he actually create this thing to be destroyed?
Maybe it was his left hand and he was just shooting at it with his right hand because he was pretending.
Exactly. That's what I'm wondering. You know, did he fake this whole thing just to get Genis to not ask questions about why the Surfer's there? And then they head back to Monster Island and he's like, because Surfer's the one that keeps bringing back the whole, your dad would be so proud, your dad, your dad, your dad. Let's get your dad in your head more.
You know.
Jerk.
I don't know when I actually started twigging to the fact that it's Mephisto, but his complete emphasis on we need you to know your dad seems to be going a little bit overboard. And it was just in that first issue. And you never know how somebody is going to be, I don't want to say mishandling a character, but maybe writing them with a bit more emphasis in one direction than you would necessarily expect. And that happens with writers on characters sometimes, you know?
Even one thing in history with. Because, I mean, Ron Mars did write a lot of Surfer.
Right. I don't know what he's going to do with this particular Silver Surfer story if he's trying to lead him in a particular direction. But turns out, no. He was behaving a little bit oddly because he was a little bit odd.
Yes. It was intentional.
I mean, which is always refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah, because Genesis is trying to resist the temptation. He's like, no, 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 this is a dangerous thing. The Surfer's like, no, no, it's cool. I'm here. It's okay. And it's like, ah, crap. And they steal the time gem, and they go back and see Captain Marvel. That is Mar-Vell.
Yeah, okay, so I want to have a little bit of a soapbox here, mainly because I haven't showered in a while, so soap would be good right now. But Captain Marvel, I have seen a lot of discussions online about how the Captain Marvel movie and the Captain Marvel comics of the last over a decade have been so wrong, and there's only one Captain Marvel and everything else, and I have to say, you know what? Other than occasionally, Captain Marvel wasn't all that. And the reason he died is because nobody was writing him. That's why Jen Starlin killed him off in particular. And I feel like in kind of like Gwen Stacy, he's taken on this status post-death that is so much more exalted than he ever was as an actual character. You had the Starlin run and the Englehart run, and those were the only worth runs that like had enough originality to make them worth reading.
I read that whole Captain Marvel run, at least up through like Starlin. So from issue one on, you know, Marvel Superheroes 12 on. Yeah, no, there's some fun stuff, and there's some stuff that's decent. I'm not saying it's crap, but
no,
it wasn't setting the world on fire. And they kept changing things, sometimes every other issue, because they were trying to find a status quo that would work.
They're playing with the idea and trying to figure out what would stick in their own minds as creators. And then they went through the, let's redo his origin. Well, let's not redo origin, but let's redo his power set. Well, let's redo his power set again with a new costume. Well, let's put him in the Rick Jones actual Captain Marvel Shazam analog. Well, yeah, but we're going to cancel him. But no, 6 months later, we're going to do more issues. But no, now he's really canceled for 3 years.
And then put him in Kree Skull War and let's do that again. And
yeah, so there's all this stuff that Captain Marvel just wasn't really all that great. And so he gets idolized and elevated. And that's, you know, at the end of the day, that's fine. But to besmirch a modern character who is taking the creative comics world by storm in favor of this character who wasn't all that and who's only fantastic in hindsight is like the epitome of so much of the bad behavior of certain branches of comics fandom. So he comes in here and he's fine. This idolizing, if you will, I think is a strong word in this particular case, but it's a little bit, is actually completely appropriate because we're looking at this guy's dad. You know, Genus Vell is looking at his dad in action. That's Captain Marvel. That's my dad. And that's cool.
Exactly. And this is what I'm fine with. Like, I never wanted to bring back Mar-Vell anyway. Because, that's the reason for all of the people loving him. It's not even the Jim Starlin issues with the Thanos War. It's the graphic novel. It's the death. Mm-hmm. And because of that, death has not been changed. That's actually part of the reason why, because he's always going to have been that, because nothing else can change.
They really strongly teased his return around 2008 or so, the Secret Invasion era.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was actually that story, if it was shortly before, shortly after that, but it was around that time they strongly teased his return. And I was really cool with it because I knew Mar-Vell conceptually. I think Mar-Vell will never, ever be as good as an actual story as he is in people's minds as a memory.
Yeah, with the exception maybe of those few issues.
Right.
Because that's the thing that everyone remembers, is like those 8 Starlin issues, basically.
But you know what stealing the time gem does?
What?
It gets Adam Warlock and the Infinity Watch mad at you.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, just to finish up, though, there, and as everyone knows, though, there is only one Captain Marvel. and he's an android, and he says split, and his arms and legs come off. And I will die on this hill, damn it.
Don't forget Marvel Man, Kimota.
Yeah, he is not. He does he say split? No. Does his arm come off?
No, he has not arm fall off, lad.
I mean, I guess he... I'm pretty sure in some of the stories, someone's arms have come off. Because they got pretty violent. But I don't think they come back on.
And if you want to hear about some of the original Captain Marvel, you can go check the John Reed's Comics feed for the Say the Magic Word podcast that has a grand total of, count them, 3 episodes out.
Woo! Plug, plug. Links in the show notes. But anyway, yes, so he watches his dad, and he's all like, that's my dad, that's awesome, thank you, Surfer. He's like, we have to go, right? He's like, yes, it's time to go, and you're going. But this is not gonna, you're not gonna like it. Because all of a sudden the Surfer is covered in fire and it's the Mephisto dude. He's like, sucker.
Dun dun dun. Now my brain is doing an Alexander Hamilton ripoff. Pardon me, are you Silver Surfer? Well, that depends. Who's asking? Oh, well, sure, fur. Anyways.
But anyways. I did like, oh, by the way, I just realized a little cameo as the Surfer shows back up on Monster Island. It's the guy, it's the Gom, whatever his name was, the guy that beat the crap out of Jenis Vell in the first issue of Warlock Rebirth.
Yes, he's there.
So the Surfer's back shows back up because he is, you know, felt something is off in the universe and came to Warlock to talk to him. And Warlock's like, you're a jerk and I'm going to boss you with my gem.
And like in typical classic stereotype Marvel style, we're going to have a fight over, guess what? A misunderstanding.
By the way, I do like the fact that, yeah, Gamora's ready to fight, and she has a gun and a sword. Makes sense. But Pip's there with a baseball bat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And very few clothes.
Pip's going to try and kneecap the Surfer.
I mean, I would. If I were a troll, I'd kneecap the Surfer. Or you can't hit him in other places because he's got a freaking metal, you know, Ken doll sheath going on.
Yeah.
All right, who is the Dark Surfer? Is this a character? Is this like a thing from Silver Surfer storylines?
Yes, the Fallen One. This is from the Donnie Cates written run of Thanos, and like that's sort of like 2017 or 2018, where Thanos goes to the future and fights himself from a future where basically Thanos kind of like killed everything and took over what was left. That's also the storyline. That storyline introduced not just this version of the Surfer who had Mjolnir, but also the Cosmic Ghost Rider character.
Oh, it introduced the Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Yes.
Okay.
That's where he comes from. So that's who this is. I don't think I don't remember that series at all. So I really can't say anything about what that Surfer's role position was, except he's kind of a jerk.
He's kind of a jerk here.
Yeah.
And Jenis Vell has to fight him a lot. And the fact that he has Mjolnir is weird because he's definitely not a worthy dude.
Well, I guess it depends what has changed with Mjolnir, too. Hopefully it's in that series. We'll get to that eventually.
I'm sure it all makes sense if you read everything from Marvel.
Yes. And while they're fighting in that far future, Warlock and Gamora and Pip are beating the crap out of the Surfer for basically stealing the time gem and absconding with Jenis Vell.
Which he didn't do. He's like, I didn't do that. Like, we saw you. It wasn't me. It was the one-armed man.
And but finally, Warlock's kind of, like, okay.
Adam Warlock is just here with the Infinity Watch. And it's kind of a relatively small, unimportant appearance. But it takes a full issue.
Yeah. And it continues on from that Warlock rebirth. So we're kind of like in that whole little same continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said last time, I didn't realize when they were starting to come out at the time, but this basically is like a trilogy of stories, you know, featuring these characters. Obviously, the Surfer is more because two of them are Silver Surfer series, but it does feature still a lot of Jenis Vell, a lot of Warlock, and as we'll see soon, Eve Warlock.
Right, and Jenis Vell is kind of the peanut butter that holds the different bits together. He's not necessarily the main character of this trilogy or the trilogy previous, but he does, his journey is what the three stories are built around.
Yeah, he's kind of the MacGuffin character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things happen because of him. And speaking of him, he is, you know, trying to, you know, he doesn't want to fight the Fallen One. He's like, I just want to go home. I'm not challenging you. You don't want me here? That's great. Send me home.
Right.
And he's like, nope, I'm just going to beat the crap out of you. And since the Surfer is not sure how to find him, he goes to somebody who he thinks can help him. Thanos.
And this Thanos made me smile because, okay, when I started buying Marvel comics off the shelves, my first big company crossover was Infinity War. And Infinity War opens with Thanos, you know, God of Death or whatever, tending a garden with a scarecrow. And he's done being bad. And, of course, that scarecrow turns out to be one of his, you know, one of the doppelgangers of the Infinity War storyline. But seeing that version of Thanos here made me smile big.
Yeah, because that kind of is this era that it's taking place in. And he's basically asking Thanos for his help. And Thanos is like, no, we already had business. It's over. I'm done. I don't care anymore. He's like, of course, if you want to help me bring in the harvest, then maybe I will help you. So basically he makes the Surfer pick fruit for them.
Right.
And he's like, okay, you helped. I'll help you.
You pick apples. I will put on my gauntlets.
I will kill things. And, well, that ends issue two, basically. Thanos is going to help, and the Fallen One Surfer is about to kill Genisfel, because let's face it, Genisfel is not as powerful as a Surfer, and definitely not as powerful as a Surfer with Mjolnir. Then again, most characters in the comics aren't, Marvel aren't.
Right, because that's a lot of power right there.
I mean, yeah.
And if you're lying on the ground like Genis is in the second... in the first page of the third issue, and someone's wielding Mjolnir above you, it's you're about to die, but then Thanos and the Surfer show up, so it's okay.
Yes. That's his whole thing. He just seems stuck in this hole. You don't belong here. Get out. It's like his mind is gone. You know, it's not that he's evil. He's just kind of like almost like stuck on like just, you don't belong here, and if you don't belong here, I have to get rid of you. And obviously getting rid of you, since I have a hammer, means just smash you with the hammer.
Or cause you to age up.
Yeah. Although, I do like Thanos here. He's like, oh, isn't this interesting? An evil version of the Surfer. He's like, nah, this gemmate would make it too easy. Let's get rid of that. Let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun. And the next page, where the Fallen One, I guess is what he's called, I am who I am, and I am fated to destroy you. He gets gleeful. I certainly hope you'll try.
Yeah. Thanos basically does beat the crap out of him.
He does. He Thanos is all over that Dark Surfer.
Yeah. I do love this part. It matters not what version of you I confront. You all talk too much.
That's a great page.
Oh, that's an awesome page. He slams him down on the ground.
And this is Ron Lim art with Ron Mars writing. And it's just, I mean, like I said, Infinity War is what I cut my teeth on with Marvel. This is my jam. I can't say I'm super invested in Surfer's continuity because I haven't read enough Surfer comics, but this is still a really fun cosmic story.
Oh yeah. No, I'm enjoying this one. I enjoyed this one a lot. But yeah, like you said, apparently whatever it is about going through time screwed up with Genisfel, and Surfer says, it might be right, it's possibly also because he was artificially grown. Because remember, I mean, he should only be like a child, a baby at the most. If his dad is Captain Marvel, and especially since he was born after his father died. Even if you're like, you stretched Marvel time a bit, he should be no older than Franklin.
Right.
Especially since this is, like we said, this is taking place around like 92, 93. He should not be 20, which he more or less is. So that might be part of the reason why it's all screwing with him, making him old, he's basically being Scott Lang in Avengers Endgame. he's old, he's young, until the Surfer absorbs that energy from him and vanishes.
I did not anticipate Thanos being the holder of the reality gem. I thought all of the watch had gems. That's why they were the Infinity Watch.
Yeah, but I guess you didn't read that back then. I mean, so spoilers for when we get to Infinity Watch. But yeah, think about it. There are six gems. There are five members that you normally see of the Infinity Watch.
Was that a secret they held for a while that no one knew where the real? Okay.
Basically, until we got to Infinity War, you didn't know who had the reality gem.
Okay. I forgot that detail of the storyline. Okay.
Because Warlock had soul, Pip had space, Gamora time, Moondragon mind, and Drax power. And it's like, who's the reality gem? Like, it's somewhere safe.
Right. And then whenever they find out it's Thanos, everyone freaks out.
It's like, Thanos knows the power of these gems, Thanos knows how to control it, and Thanos knows, you know, how dangerous the reality gem is to use without the others. So.
When Galactus shows up at the end of issue 3, I have to say, though, that big full page, he kind of looks like a whack-a-mole is sticking up. Like, I don't know, it just like, boom, you want to like pump him back down.
He does, I'm just flipping over the page, you're right.
He's just like sticking up out of the trees, and I want to whack-a-mole him right back down again.
But going back real quick, so after the Surfer vanishes, Genis helps Thanos blast away this Fallen One, because Thanos is always pragmatic. I'm not here. Like, yeah, fighting him was fun, but the whole point wasn't fighting him. The deal I made was to help rescue you.
Right.
Let's just make him go away for a bit, and then I can rescue you, and I'm done.
And also, saving the regular Surfer was not part of his mandate either.
Yeah. He's like, no, I wasn't here to save anyone else but you. My ledger is now even. And so he takes Dennis Fell back. And then, like we said, we jump to something that they just call the end. And the Surfer lands on some planet, not sure where he is, and finds... And here's the other thing. He finds Nova,
who by this point... Who is his successor.
Yes, and who by this point had died.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what are you doing here?
Do you like the Transformers?
Yes.
Do you like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Cowabunga!
Do you like IDW Comics?
And comic book podcasts?
Then come check out Ninjas and Bots. Each week, we look at an issue of Transformers
or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their IDW Comics incarnation. We drop episodes every Saturday morning.
Just like the cartoons we loved as a kid. The show can be found on your favorite podcatcher and at johnreadscomics.com.
See you then.
Granted, there's a time thing going on, so for all he knows, he landed somewhere before Nova died, but...
Well, no, it's the end of time, so either she's been reconstituted at some point and doesn't remember it, or this is another timeline.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, we know it's the end, because it says the end, but Surfer wasn't able to read that, so he doesn't know where or when he is.
You know, well, he just didn't look at the sign. It was like floating there in space above his head, he just didn't look up.
Is Surfer like Deadpool... Surfer's arms are going to start ducking. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, I don't want to hit the word balloons.
Well, it's like the Umbrella Academy, how the logo for each episode is worked into the setting of the show. And so it's just like, if you just look over there, it says the Umbrella Academy. You just didn't notice it.
But yes, they shows up and Galactus is there. Why is my most troublesome former Herald present?
Yeah. Of all the people I wanted to run into, you were not one. Whack Galactus.
Whack-a-lactus. I don't know if he's... Well, I guess he's the most troublesome. He's not the most dangerous. He's not the most murderous, but he's the most troublesome.
He's just like, the most... And troublesome is a synonym for annoying. He's like, oh my God, I hate you so much.
Oh, this guy.
Why are you here?
Don't kill people. Wah, wah, wah.
It's because of you that I have not been able to have nearly as many planets as I had before. Although, when Surfer's not looking, he still eats people.
He sneaks. Basically, when the Surfer's not around, that's Galactus' cheat day.
Yeah. Mindy and I have been on low carb since the beginning of the year, and we occasionally cheat and, you know, eat something and sneak it. So he's sneaking people into his diet. Some humans. Nom, nom, nom.
But anyway, on issue 4, as Mephisto is enjoying the show.
Yeah. On his throne.
Yeah, and he's trying to figure out what Galactus is doing. You know, and Nova has finally filled him in. This is the end of the universe, and they're on Earth. And he's like, I'm here to eat. You know? People are gone. My promise to Richards is over. I don't have to worry about it. I'm going to eat the planet.
Here's the thing, though. Silver Surfer's like, it's still full of life. Okay, Surfer, somewhere you have to draw the line, because every planet that has any energy at all is going to be worth that's worth eating is going to probably have some life on it. Like, that's part of what the energy is that makes it so tasty. So I don't know. He's like, he's been eating planets for eons. Do we care about life or do we care about sentient life? Because I feel like there's a difference.
Yeah, but that moose in the last issue looked kind of cool, so I don't know if I want him eaten.
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah, but him and Nova have a bit of a...
You might change your mind if it was slow roasted with a mint jelly on top.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, as long as it's not the moose on the loose. No one hurts him.
There's a moose in my house. I don't know what to do.
My brother got bit by a moose once. No, really, the moose bites me pretty nasty.
Okay, before you get sacked, we have to keep going.
Don't worry, I'm pretty sure the people that sack me will get sacked too.
Yes, they will.
And the podcast we finish quickly and very cheap. But I do like the way it's kind of an interesting way of looking at it, the way here with Nova talking to him. It's like, you know, he's like, you're dead. And she's like, maybe, but for as far as I'm concerned here, you've been missing for millennia. So for all we know, you're dead. She's like, I missed you. It's like, I'm here. You're here. Is that good enough? It's kind of an interesting thing to look at. It's like sometimes if like people, we do this alternate time things. It's like, well, you're not my, you know, you're not my whatever character I was in love with. Mm-hmm. And here they're like, you've missed me. I've missed you.
We're still I am me and you are you. And let's, you know, what's the problem?
Yeah, we're still versions of each other that missed the other one. So what's the problem? Yeah, yeah.
Just treat me like a version of the version that you had before.
It's kind of like Rose's mom from Doctor Who when she finds her husband alive in the other world.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you're not, you know, it's like, yeah, you're not my Jackie and I'm not your Pete, but, you know, I am Pete and you are Jackie and you miss Pete and I miss Jackie, so, you know.
He's like, I'm rich. He's like, I don't care about that. How rich?
And powerful. I don't care about that. How powerful?
How powerful?
I do love that part. But anyway, nope. But then Galactus interferes. I mean, seriously.
As one does.
Seriously, like, dude, you were like a couple minutes away from possibly him not bothering, or at least being distracted enough to not bother you. And you had to poke that bear. I mean, granted, you're Galactus, so it's a very tiny little bear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the surfer. But still, you had to start setting your stuff up right then and there. In front, on him. Literally. And that's it. He goes in the fight. And real quick, we go back to Thanos on his planet. And he's like, no, I'm not. You can go now. I'm dumb. I did my part. I'm out, Genesville. Get the hell out of here. I have crops to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I
really liked the I didn't get it until just now, and I was looking over it while we were talking, but whenever his clothes show up on the scarecrow, I was like, what is that? Is that some sort of weird, like, backwards foreshadowing for the scarecrow in Infinity War? And then I was, oh, no, that's just where he keeps his outfit.
Yes.
Which means that last panel of him grinning, he's naked.
Yep, that's why he's grinning. It's naked time!
But I do
like the interaction between Thanos and Genesville. He says, I told you that you reminded me of your father. I bested your father on more than one occasion.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget who has the upper hand here, boy.
Yeah.
I can hear him saying boy in Josh Brolin's deep voice.
Oh, especially the next part right there when Genesville yells, you don't scare me. He goes, no, but I should.
But I should. Yes.
I mean, considering the fact that, you know, Surfer really didn't know Mar-Vell. Warlock only met him once or twice. Thanos, ironically enough, is the one that knew your dad best.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, they had all that Marvel War story.
Yeah. So actually, it's kind of like a weird, like, good feeling when this guy says, you remind me of your dad. Like, yeah, the person who hated your dad probably the most and says you remind me of him, well, those are probably the attributes you want to have. To emulate from your father.
It's like if Captain Marvel hadn't died, he and Thanos might have gone on to have as many connections as Adam Warlock and Thanos had.
Very possibly. That'd be interesting. I wonder what happened there, like with the Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet started in the Marvel series instead of a Silver Surfer series.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. But anyway, so Genesis knows what he has to do. He's like, he has an idea about how to help the Surfer and flies off. But first we go back to the Surfer, since it's actually his title. As he gets back, goes to fight Galactus again, Galactus just backhands him. And he flies off and meets a robot, Litrob 839.
Who basically so I don't know this character. Panels. I know that you researched this character, but I do want to point out that naming robot characters something Rob is a pattern that goes back at least as far as the 2000 AD comics. No, before that, I'm sorry. The Magnus Robot Fighter comics from the 60s. They would call, you know, Paul Robs were the police robots, that sort of thing. So I don't know if that's something that the Magnus writers took from, like, science fiction tropes of the day, or if they started something that stuck. Because they used it in the 60s, and then 2000 AD used it in the 70s, and it's just one of those things I haven't seen a lot of places, so whenever I do, I'm like, oh.
There's also another character, I'm trying to remember the name, it's one of the first comics that John Byrne did, like Rob something.
Not Rob Space Knight.
Not Rob, Rob.
That one I couldn't tell you. You know, we mentioned Thanos' connection to Captain Marvel, so I just looked up his continuity, and I forgot that the Captain Marvel war was before the Warlock shenanigans. But anyways, that's neither here nor there.
Sorry, Rog. My mistake. It was a comic for Charlton he did called
Okay.
It was a backup in E-Man called Rog 2000.
Gotcha.
So anyway, I looked up Litrob 839 because this robot kind of talks a little flower. You know, he doesn't talk like a robot. The Surfer basically smashes down on some rocks in front of him, and the robot says, "An event most surprising, the silence to which for eon upon eon has been my companion doth shatter quite soundly. My greeting is proffered. Dem me Litrob 839. My job, my charge, is bearing global witness and true to preserve the bard's sage words and rhymes."
My office. He's a Shakespeare robot.
Yeah, actually, yes, that's funny to say that. So, a literary robot, Litrob 839, was the sole inhabitant of Earth 100 million years into the future with the human, 100 million years into the future. With the human race apparently extinct, Galactus no longer felt bound to his pledge to Mr. Fantastic and consume the planet. Litrob, nicknamed Shakespeare by Nova, and the last surviving city were transported to his world ship before that occurred, however. And this occurred in Epic Illustrated 29, 30, and 33, and maybe one other issue, by John Byrne, The Last Galactus Story.
So it's a Last Galactus story set in the far future, because Epic Illustrated would do, you know, they were not necessarily in continuity. They could do other things.
Exactly. This is from February. His first appearance is February 1985. So this is actually not just, because I like it, because there's one other alternate future we see briefly. And all of these are not just random ones that Ron Mars said, let's just do this. These are actual futures with Galactus or the Surfer that have been done in Marvel Comics before that he's touching on. So that's a fun little thing. I like that.
Yes, and I was looking up that issue 33. That is a Nova and Lit Rob story with Galactus. So this is a really, really deep cut, because 1985 was, of course, a long time ago. If you had done a Lit Rob reference in the era when this comic takes place, that still would have been a deep cut, because that's like calling back almost 10 years to a random Epic Illustrated. And Epic Illustrated, let's face it, Epic Illustrated was not mainstream Marvel. No. This is like sideline graphic novels, you know, niche audience Marvel.
Yeah. Now I remember there was a one shot called The Last Galactus Story. So I'm assuming it's the reprint of that, but still it didn't get a lot. It's not like that got a lot of, that wasn't like the biggest seller of the year. So yeah, like you said, this came out actually in the time frame that it was taking place back in the early 90s. Most people have been like, who is this? You would have had to have read that issue it's actually only now that we have the internet that I can look these things up.
29 is called the Rhyming Robot. So it looks like it's about Lit Rob 839 and how Galactus and Nova encountered him. And then 30 is called the End of the Earth. So that's the idea of Galactus eating the Earth way far in the future.
Yes. This is Earth 8346. So it said it was a four-part thing called The Last Galactus Story. Lit Rob's appearances were in 29, 30, and 33. And it says the first appearance of this Earth was 26. So I'm assuming those are the four issues that had this Galactus story.
Oh, 26. Okay, I did not realize that was also in the list because I was just looking at the Lit Rob appearances.
Well, because he wasn't in that one.
Okay. But, yeah, 26 is the Galactus story is not the lead story. Now, he was the lead story in the other issues, but Shattered Stars features Nova, Frankie Ray, and that's her first appearance is Epic Illustrated 26.
No, she was around before that.
Before 1985?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Well, I'm sorry, 1984, because 26 is a little bit further back.
Because that would be why he used her as the Herald, because she already was the Herald.
Okay, maybe. Just his first appearance. Maybe it's her first appearance on this particular version of the Earth.
Oh, probably that version of Frankie. Like the Nova Marvel of Earth 8436.
Yeah, maybe that's it. So yeah, this is the one that's the Last Galactus story. That's Last Galactus story is sort of the name of the Earth because that's what John Byrne was going to do. And he says that Epic Illustrated was canceled before he could finish it. So it's a multi-issue saga. And he explained the story would have ended with Galactus and Eki battling each other while the universe dies around them. And after Galactus defeats Eki, he releases his energy and creates a big bang to create a new universe. And Galactus's Herald Nova becomes the Galactus of this new universe. That's where that story was going to go.
Oh, and I'm seeing that Eki is the watcher, is a watcher, the watcher who witnessed Galactus's birth and regretted not killing him when he had the chance.
So if you read 26 through 34 of Epic Illustrated, you will get this saga.
And I'm fairly certain if you find the reprint, The Last Galactus Story, it's probably all in there as well.
Probably all those issues, yeah.
But because I remember reading this going, what the heck was this robot? And at first I thought, well, maybe like Rob Mars has been around a while. Now, granted, I'm not saying he's perfect. No creator is. But I mean, he's been around for a while. There's a good chance that he's not just, maybe he's doing something with this robot again. Maybe he's planting him here so he can use him again in the future. But no, I was wrong. He's just bringing it back because he's planting it on this actual world, showing us, using this robot to show us it's not just a random Galactus and Nova in a future. It's that specific future.
It's that specific one. He knew his research. He did his due diligence.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, that's so cool. But Galactus is, Surfer of the Force goes back to fight, and Galactus is like, okay, I have no more patience for you. And he basically blasts the Surfer away to lose you forever in time. And the Surfer goes through a couple different, sees a couple different things, including himself fighting that Fallen One, probably the What If issue that came out around that time of what if the Silver Surfer got the Infinity Gauntlet, because we see him with the Infinity Gauntlet. We see him with the FF, and we see him with the Quantum Bands.
Wow.
And that is the version of the Surfer known as the Keeper, who appeared in the Guardians of the Galaxy run that started in 1990 by Jim Valentino.
Who would go on to do Shadowhawk for Image.
Yes. Valentino actually touched on some of the stuff because he also had a Universal Church of Truth and also had a Magus in there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He was playing with some of that stuff too, but the Surfer in there was called the Keeper and he had the Quantum Bands. You know, and we see like, oh, looks like a silver Galactus. I'm assuming that is probably a Galactus from some alternate future or what if story.
Well, if you're going to have a writer to know Silver Surfer's different nuances of his continuity, Ron Mars is the guy to do that.
Yeah. So I just like when they actually, like, it wasn't a big thing. Like, these things, it could have been anything random, but I like the fact that, like, he's actually using real, like, so much stuff has been done. It's like, let's just use the ones we've actually used.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like in when you read the all new, all different X-Men, where it has the time-tossed X-Men and Jean Grey gets that, like, mosaic of the stories that have happened to Jean Grey over the decades, and they're all different panel. Every panel is from a different either Jean Grey or Madeline Pryor storyline, and it's just like, if you've read 30 years of X-Men, all of this is memory for you.
Yeah. And it's a game to play. It's like, oh, where does each panel come from?
Right, right. You have to think about it. But that brings us to a surprising last page appearance that I was not expecting in this issue. Well, that I should have done because she was set up in the previous storyline.
Yes, as the as Genis is flying through space because he says, maybe I don't have as much cosmic awareness as my father, but I can still follow a trail. And he finds he's looking for somebody on the ship. And we got a cloak figure says the High Evolutionary was here, but he escaped me again. And it's Eve Warlock. She's back.
Yes.
She was she not is. Needed just to vanish forever.
Although.
Well, I have some thoughts on that when we get there. We get to the end of the next issue.
Okay.
But issue 5, we start off the Surfer basically lost in time. But he knows one place he can go from there. And he basically uses his power to fly himself to Mephisto's realm.
As you do. He knows how to get there. He's been there a lot of times.
Yeah. Because, you know, and Mephisto is like, yep, it was me. Well, actually, we already knew it was Mephisto because Mephisto possessed Pip early in issue 2.
Do you think that Silver Surfer knows where the key is if Mephisto is out? Like, he's been there enough that Mephisto has told him where he hides the key? And so he can just go into, he can unlock and go into the realm whenever Mephisto's out, you know, getting over Dr. Pepper somewhere.
It's, that's why Mephisto comes back occasionally like, why is my throne moved? I swear, it was like an inch, 2 inches over. I swear, who touched it?
I literally just watched a Deep Space Nine episode last week where Odo was complaining because, Lieutenant Dax likes to come into my quarters and she moves my furniture. The sofa is 3 centimeters to the left. The table is 2 centimeters to the right. She has no respect for order. She does it just to rise him.
I wonder. Now I'm trying to imagine Mephisto, but like, you know, a CGI type character with like Rene Auberjonois. I can never pronounce his name, but him as Mephisto.
That'd be pretty great. You were a useful pawn, Genus Vell. You served your purpose. I would have ignored you, but now, Quark, you and this other have my full attention.
But yeah, he's using the tries to use the time gem on the Surfer to make him back human, but it doesn't last. And he's about, and he actually even changes from his typical form to the John Romita version, John Romita Jr. version of that was popularized in Daredevil, of like the monster looking thing with the big tongue
and the long, like, spiky hair.
Yeah. And he's basically about to eat the Surfer when Eve and Genis show up to save the day. And Surfer's like, how does there an Eve Warlock?
Which we're all kind of wondering if we didn't read Silver's Adam Warlock Rebirth. Like, how is there an Eve Warlock?
He wasn't there. He's like, how did that happen? Like, I'll explain later if I can.
It's very Doctor Who. I'll explain later.
Yeah. And considering the fact that she's so new, her soul is a lot more pure than anyone else's because she had a lot less time to use it. You know, she's basically like a baby.
Well, I think which goes with her namesake, right? And they kind of make an allusion to that, is that she is unfallen mankind. She has unfallen human potential. So she is Eve Warlock before anything. So she's pure, pure soul.
Which is something that they actually kind of touch on, I guess, in a few pages.
Right.
But basically the light of her soul kind of makes Mephisto cower. He shrinks back down to the regular version of himself, and he keeps shrinking smaller and smaller to like a, basically he's a tiny little snake. And it's like, yeah, we can't really destroy him, but he deserves to be punished a bit, so I'm going to deal with him. And she's the time gem, and something happens, and she and Mephisto vanish.
So the surface reading is that she sends Mephisto back to the beginning, and he's in the Temptation of Eve story saying, you will not surely die, which in theory puts Mephisto on a loop that he has to go back to this point in time and live out his life all over again. So does that work? Because isn't there more Mephisto after this story?
Well, yes, but I mean, since we don't see that much, we can, it's all theory. Is it that, or is it that there's two Mephistos there and there's another Mephisto doing other stuff at this point in time, and the Mephisto from present day is here for a while until he's able to get himself back home, back to his regular time?
Or did he just live those however many thousands of years over again, and his next appearance, he has a whole bunch of time gap between. But it also does presuppose that the Fall of Eve story is history and not just myth. But we're also talking about an incarnation of the devil, so, you know, whatever.
Exactly. And just because he's tempting somebody with an apple does not mean, since we don't see more, we don't, you know, it's alluding to that, but doesn't mean it is that.
Oh, yeah, it could be just Alice.
Yeah. Alice, you know, the apple, go. Yeah, you won't die, you'll get big, don't worry.
Right.
But we
the end off, of the apple says, eat me.
Yeah. But we end off on Monster Island. Janice gives back, you know, Gamora back the gem and apologizes.
Everyone apologizes, they're all happy.
And Pip is like, you know, telling her, maybe now you listen to old Pip and keep that thing in a safer place. And you know she's glaring at him. She's like, I am not putting it anywhere you suggest.
Right. Because we don't know where he keeps his gem. We just know that we don't want to know.
Yeah, you don't want to know. I know where he kept the gem, and you still don't want to know.
Right.
And Jen's like, at least I got to see my dad, so, you know, that was nice. And him and the surfer leave. He's like, I've caused enough problems on Earth. I gotta leave. I've done enough damage.
Adam Warlock's drawings here on these last few pages are kind of simplistic. His hair and his face are kind of just there. But we are at the end of the story, and I wonder if there were some
timing
shortcuts being done for the art.
Yeah, it's possible. We get that nice last, well, it's not the last page, but it's near the last page of the Surfer. And a little bit of a meta commentary. The journey never ends. There are always more stories to be told.
Because here we are telling a story that takes place between stories, you know, 30 years ago.
Yes. And then we do end in that end time, with Eve, which is where Eve Warlock ended up, and she meets with Nova.
So is this, did she skip over to the universe of Earth 8439 and meet Nova over there?
I'm assuming, because it does say the end.
Mm-hmm. So, and she and Nova are going to become the new Earth Mothers?
Maybe. I mean, Earth does get destroyed here, as far as we know. I don't know whether this is before or after Earth has been destroyed.
I would assume after. It seems like everything's dead.
I'm almost wondering the reason. Now, granted, on the one hand, it does kind of look like, okay, we got rid of her. On the other hand, it might be a writer being like, okay, let me put her somewhere safe so she's out of the way from people going, I need somebody to be randomly die for this crossover, for this new crossover. What random characters aren't showing up for a while? You know, it's like, no, Eve's back there in the end of time. She's away from everybody. She's safe until I have another story I can tell with her.
Right. So she still exists. She's not in anybody's way in continuity, but she can be called into a story from the end of the world at any time.
Exactly. If they do more series like this that take place in different times in the past, they can bring her back. Or they can bring her back now, and there's no, like, well, where has she been throughout all these other things that have happened?
Which is honestly my favorite flavor of the possibilities, is that she's available for a present day story should somebody have a story in mind.
Yeah. Like, for instance, the whole issue, like, which they, I mean, they bring it up briefly, but like in the movie, The Eternals, it's like, you know, well, where were you guys all when, you know, Thanos killed half the universe?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, no, she wasn't here at all. So, you know, she's out of the way from everything.
Right.
Didn't matter what happened. So you can bring her back for whatever past stories you want. You could just probably do something to get rid of her, send her back, or you just hold on, you know, you can just bring her back now, and now she can be around now if they want to, mm-hmm. whenever now is.
All right, before we close out the episode, let's cover our feedback, and this time the feedback is for episode 189, The Cat and the Cosmic Cube, which is our Wilderness Years finale, where we talked about Spidey Super Stories number 39 with guest Paul Showens and his daughter Madison, Rick Heineken and his daughter Carrie, and Paul French and his daughter Sarah. On Facebook, the post about that episode got likes and shares from A World on Fire, an All-Star Squadron podcast, Jeff and Rick Present, Unpacking the Power of Power Pack, Geek Pod, Clinton Robeson, Jeremy Wiggins, Derek William Crabb, Gene Hendricks, and Ruth Sutherland. On Twitter, we got likes and retweets from Alan Sharp, Capes and Lunatics Podcast Network, Viet Nguyen, Chris Leiden, and Truth, Justice, and Hope. On Blue Sky, we also got likes and shares from Tim Price, the Podcrasher, Trey Lawson, and Vincent Loves Comics. Now, if you want to hear more from me, you can go find me on the Magazines and Monsters feed, and under the title Bronze Age of Horror, me and Billy talking about Werewolf by Night 27 and Giant Size Werewolf number 3. Links will be in the show notes. All right. You have thoughts. You have comments. You think this story takes place somewhere else besides between Infinity Gauntlet and Infinity War? Yeah, I could be wrong. I really didn't do that much research on that part. Maybe you did. Tell me how right you are. Send an email. resurrectionspodcast@yahoo.com. On Facebook, you can like and share the post on there or even make a comment. Just type in Adam Warlock or Thanos in the search box and you'll find it. On Twitter, we are at Adam Thanos Pod, and the same thing on Blue Sky, at Adam Thanos Pod. All right, one more promo and then we can close out and that's it. By the way, the promo is going to be for one of the collective shows. The collective was started by a few like-minded podcasters who wanted to network in the most traditional sense. Is become a repository for ideas, crossovers, and potential guest appearances.
Hi, I'm Russell.
And I'm Justin.
And we're from the
Hold up. Listen up, you nerds. Tired of being a little goody two-shoes? Had enough of always talking about acts of courage and heroism? Well, you have come to the right place, I guess. Tomes of Evil is the comic book supervillain podcast, where every month we do a deep dive on a different comic book supervillain, as well as multiple sub-series on some of the most iconic foes of all time, including Darkseid, Doctor Doom, Scarecrow, and...
At name Hobgoblin, and you're right on time for your funeral.
I better be getting paid for this. So what are you guys waiting for? Bring on the bad guys.
Tomes of Evil, a comic book villain podcast.
So this was fun. I think, as much as I like Warlock more, I think I like this story a bit more than the Warlock Rebirth.
It's been a minute since I read the Warlock one. I remember feeling more happy with it as I was going through, but I mean, it was pushing my Warlock buttons, and this. If I had more investment in Silver Surfer's continuity and different storylines and branches and everything, I'd probably feel more of a nerdy reaction to this. Because this is definitely one of the stories that exists to push nerd buttons. You know? Yes. Not a bad way, not an irritating you nerd buttons, but just like, oh, look, we're making reference to the thing. Oh, look, we're doing this with the thing that you know. You know? And it's just, it's a certain kind of story which... you have to know the character and the continuity to get the references and feel the reactions they want you to feel from the references that they're making.
Yeah, I can see that. And maybe one of the reasons I like this maybe a bit more is because while Warlock was still a full miniseries, it technically was like the middle series of these three. So it's like it was more or less the second act. Right. And this actually gives an ending to that whole thing that starts off in the original Silver Surfer Rebirth, where Genis comes to the Surfer asking about his dad. Mm-hmm. And this kind of ends off that whole thing. So this is like an actual ending for everything.
Right. Yeah, this does end that story, and at the same time addressing the Eve Warlock stuff that was set up in the previous story, which they honestly didn't have to do. You didn't need Eve Warlock for this story to work. So they chose to bring her in and give her... closure is too strong a word, but a place to be until they wanted to use her again, you know?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, it makes sense. There's, a High Revolutionary has appeared since those original, since this time period. So it's like, mm-hmm. What, she never found him? Is she that bad that she's just wandering around going, where is he? I do not know where he is. While the High Revolutionary just walk around behind her going, shh, don't tell her. I'm over here.
I'm hunting rabbits.
Like, I'm on Earth. I've been doing a lot of stuff on Earth this whole time. She's just been looking everywhere else.
Right.
This makes her look a little, this at least a little better for her. She looked for him for a little while, and obviously not that long, since there's not that much time frame between the issues. And then, boom, she's in the far future.
I always come away from Silver Surfer stuff wanting to read more Silver Surfer. So I'm glad that this show is getting very close to the Silver Surfer 90s series that leads into the Infinity stuff, because I feel like I've invested in what that stories, those stories might have to offer.
Yes. And if anyone is interested in a surfer, there are 4 episodes of the Wilderness Years ones where we basically covered the first 18 issues of that Silver Surfer run.
Yes, that's right. I keep meaning to listen to those. So I need to read those first 18 issues and listen to those episodes.
Yes, which does have the Fantastic Four in it, as well as Nova, which actually, you know, Galactus, and Infinity Gems in their, like, their last appearance before Thanos gets his, you know, realizes what they are and what he can do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still called Soul Gems at the time.
Now, didn't the Kinks do a song about Nova?
Lola.
Oh, that's right. I met her out in space with Galactus, and I was seeing her when she wanted to blow up a world. That's my Nova. Anyways.
Anyway, this is not the singing episode.
It could be.
It's a little late for that. We should start off in the beginning if we're going to be singing. We're going to torture them. We should torture them the whole episode, not just the end. But anyway, so that's the end of that. So, John, I know you mentioned one thing to people before, but besides johnreedcomics.com, where they can hear you talking about Supergirl and Shazam, what else can they hear you talking about?
Well, John Reed's Comics is the home of all of the different podcasts that I produce or help to produce. So if I'm majorly involved in something, help make, then that's going to be on John Reed's Comics. And so that includes various things that might also have their own feeds. But if you like Captain Marvel, there's the Say the Magic Word podcast. If you like Supergirl, there's John Reed's Supergirl. But the more involved projects I'm involved in, which are also in their own feeds, as well as the John Reed Comics mega feed, is, every week, a friend of mine named Lane and I sit down and look at either an issue or two of the Transformers comics or an issue or two of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comics from IDW. And that series is called Ninjas and Bots. You can find that at its own feed or at John Reed's Comics. And also, every week, most weeks, 30 years after its release date, you can find me and Blaine talking about an episode of Babylon 5 on a show called Babylon 5, 30 years later. So we are recording those episodes. I am new to the show. He has watched it through a couple of times. He's read through the script book, so he's kind of an expert in the show. And so it's kind of what they used to call an intro cast, where you have an expert and a newbie watching the show together. So those come out each week with breaks, exactly following the broadcast schedule of the show 30 years ago. So check that out at John Reed's Comics or at Babylon 5 30 years later on your favorite podcatcher. So, yeah. Those are my two ongoing shows, as well as being with you on a semi-regular basis.
Yes. And there will be links to those things in the show notes, plus there'll probably be a promo for one of those shows played already in this episode.
Yay.
All right, but that's all for this time, folks. We'll be back next episode with something with someone.
Probably involving somebody who's orange or green. Okay. Oh, sorry, orange or purple.
Yes. I was going to say purple. Yeah, yeah, purple.
I don't know why I said green.
Am I a Hulk show now?
I don't know. Green's not a creative color.
Hmm. Well, no. Gamora. She's green.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's less creative and more just dangerous.
Yes. Most dangerous. But that's all anyway, folks. Bye.
Bye.
Resurrections, an Adam Warlock and Thanos podcast, is a fan-made production, and no copyright infringement is intended, or happening, or even understood. The opening music for this podcast is Intro Pompeii by Lino Rise, and the closing music is Dark and Dramatic by DJ Puzzle. Both are licensed by the Creative Commons license. You can find Lino Rise at free-intro-music.com and DJ Puzzle at peacelovproductions.com. Links to both can be found on the Tumblr page.